MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. Martin, gold, it is, to be clear, we're now in its 10th green week in a row. It's a record for gold. I've never seen anything like it. But there really has been, and this is perhaps, it's not a news story, but there has been a fundamental shift towards gold in terms of the geopolitical uncertainty, dollar weakness, diversification, central banks and others away from the US dollar. This really is a mindset shift around gold, is my sense.
Yes, I think you're 100% right. This year has been a golden year, if we can put it that way. Gold typically performs well when the dollar is under pressure, but you know, currently it's totally out of whack because if you think about it, the dollar since Trump walked into the White House is about 10% weaker.
Yeah.
But the gold price is about 60% stronger. So it's not just dollar weakness. There's clearly a diversification from mostly central banks out of the dollar into gold. There's been quite strong buying, which underpinned the gold price, which is also a very important thing that one can discuss because they're not really buying other currencies. So there's a big question about the dollar as a reserve currency, but it's not as if central banks are buying euros or pounds. It's all going into gold. So, yeah, I think if you add on top of that, you know, gold started looking good after COVID with the high inflation globally, but it didn't really take off until we had increased global uncertainty. And then this year specifically, given the question mark around the sustainability of the dollar.
Do we also see, because I take your point there around, it's not a case of people leaving the dollar and then taking a euro, for example, which, you know, in many senses would make some sense. We go back to the Ukrainian war where Russian dollar assets were confiscated. It also, I think, maybe a lot of treasuries around the world were like, oh, hang on a second. And of course, gold, you can theoretically put it in your own vault, perhaps.
Yeah, so I think, you know, gold is a physical safe haven asset. It is currently competing with things like cryptos, that is the new kid on the block. But I think in this world of just massive uncertainty and the fact that, you know, you're 100% right, the world is looking for an alternative currency against the dollar, but it's not really that the euro or the pound is putting up their hands. You know, those economies have major issues in terms of competitiveness and productivity. If you think about some of the emerging economies, think about China, they still semi-pegged to the dollar, so they're not an alternative.
Yeah.
And cryptos, you know, still needs to, in many countries, get regulated. So that's why suddenly the old traditional kind a thing like gold is back in favor. And, you know, if you even look at the silver price, you know, silver is also increasing. So it's just this kind of basket of precious metals. And then the dollar, you know, is also getting pressure from, let's call it the emerging world, the BRICS countries, but it's much broader than that. Basically saying, well, you know, we just prefer trading in our local currency. So if Russia is still selling oil to whoever, they're not taking payment in dollars, you know. They get it in local currencies from those countries. So the dollar is getting a headwind from many sides.
That's a great point. And instead of going, I don't know, renminbi dollars are, we can just go direct and save all sorts of costs and hassles. And of course, less dollar demand. If you're an investor in gold, it's been a spectacular 2025. This is also good for our economy. It's maybe not, in fact, it's certainly not as big a sector as it has been at past in the last 140 years since the discovery of gold, but it helps our currency. It's going to help treasury as well, surely.
Yes, yeah. So obviously it's not just gold. So we also had platinum and palladium shooting up the lights. It's quite amazing if you think beginning of this year, we thought that a lot of the Trump policies is going to be negative on South Africa. And then basically in his big, beautiful bill, he scrapped the subsidies for electric vehicles. And voila, platinum starts to run because that goes traditionally in combustion engines in the exhaust system. So it just shows how one decision on that side have a major impact on this side. But you're right. So mining's done exceptionally well. There's quite a difference. If you look at mining companies, you know, that's a big chunk of the JSE. And that's why the JSE's been flying. But if you look at mining's contribution to GDP, that's only 6% of the economy. And agriculture, which is the fastest growing industry in this country over the last decade, is now, well, call it pretty much the same size. They're five and a bit. They came from the smallest industry to now basically being in line with the mining industry. So just shows you how very quickly things can change. But obviously from a listed point of view, yes, you're right. Mining companies benefited hugely this year. And on the back of that, also obviously paying more corporate tax, which should be a relief for the fiscus, because that was something that they didn't expect it, even in budget number three, by the time they got to present that.
That said, more and more in tax, but during the, I think it was the 21 when we had the PGMs above 2,000, rhodium almost 30,000. From my memory, is Treasury got about an extra 150 billion. We don't get that sort of number, do we?
No, but I think, you know, the numbers that they were looking for from the proposed VAT increase is obviously, you know, sustainable. Or not sustainable, it's baked into the KTN forever. But I think this year, yeah, they should get a similar number, if not more, just from this commodity tailwind, which is a concern because, you know, it doesn't mean if the budget looks slightly better come midterm budget that we're out of the woods, because we know that these commodity cycles come and go. So they're not, you know, it's not going to be there forever.
That's a good point. I mean, it's nice to have, but much as that 150 that we got a few years ago faded away, this will too. We'll leave it there. Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. Always appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.